City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 581. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Mitchell Fain.
And happy 4th of July.
Hey, thank you.
Can you believe it's July and we're like still dealing with like days where it's never hit 65 degrees?
Yesterday was so cold and rainy.
It's been so weird this
today's
week.
Gorgeous.
Today's gorgeous. And it looks like the, you know, we're recording this before the 4th. It's the 4th of July is... hopefully this weekend looks like in Chicago area. It looks like it's going to be nice. But the other day I was like sitting here after we had that torrential storm right after
Crazy
Pride
storm.
And the week after Pride. And I had flown in from Miami.
I couldn't believe you made it.
And you couldn't believe I made it. You came down the steps.
And I didn't know what was going on.
I know. You were like worried. I didn't even know anything was going on. But then like the next day I was sitting here and it had been a perfectly kind of nice day. And I was looking at my iPhone going like, how are the next few days going to look? And literally I was just sitting here and all of a sudden I was like, is that rain that I hear? And it was just as hard. It came down so hard. It came down so hard. And I kept looking at my iPhone and refreshing it and it was just, didn't even show a raindrop. And I was like, okay, Mac, what's going on? Like, why is my iPhone not telling me that like something just... You know,
blew
like,
over Chicago.
Yes, vomited over Chicago and like 2.2. Like the other one, I guess you guys were all prepped for. I found a window of opportunity. But that next day, it's just weird. It's these random like. I feel like sometimes I'm working really hard and I'll be doing work, and then it's the one time I get to leave the house, and it's invariably like early evening, late afternoon, and all of a sudden it will just start pouring like right when I walk out the door. I'm like, this sucks. I gotta like change my schedule.
I know. You just have to keep looking out the window more.
Yeah,
I do. Turn your desk around.
It's true. I have skylights. It doesn't help.
Yeah, that's true. But like your back is to the window.
Yeah, but I mean seriously, it can be beautiful. And then in 5 minutes, it's like, it's been the weirdest weather.
Well,
are we dealing with Armageddon? Like the whole Entertainment Weekly last week was all about all the Armageddon, like end times movies and why they come out and all the ones that are about to come up, you know, and this even, you know, this summer. But it's really... our weather is weird. It's weird.
It is. Well, I'm from New England, and so 4th of July in New England is, I mean, it's across the country, but it's like 4th of July sort of happened in New England. So
You all claim it.
Well, it happened there.
Yes.
So, I mean, in fact, it happened, just a little trivia, 2 months earlier in Rhode Island, May 4th, 1776. Some pilgrims in Rhode Island.
Oh my God, Mitchell Fain's doing history. I just got a little excited.
Burnt a British, dressed as Indians, paddled out to a British ship that was in Narragansett Bay, and burnt a British ship called the Gatsby in protest.
Okay.
It's called Gatsby Days in Rhode Island. And so Rhode Island celebrates independence on May 4th.
Oh, interesting.
Because that's when it sort of started. That was one of the sort of the first sort of like a... I mean, I'm sure the Brits saw it as a terrorist act if you think about it in those perspectives.
Sure.
But it was a... active revolution
right
in May, but just quickly about July 4th. So July 4th in my family was a huge, because not only was it summertime and we lived, you know, in the Ocean State, but my godmother, who I've talked about many, many times, Robin, God rest her soul, 4th of July is her birthday.
Oh, so, you're kidding.
Yeah, so 4th of July was always like a super duper holiday for New England, for my family specifically, and then for me because she was my godmother and she was my fave. And I was her fave. Fuck y'all. And my family resented the shit out of it. I mean, even when I was a kid, it was like Robin and I against the rest of the world. Even in my family, even as a child.
Everybody should have one of those.
I know. And even as a child, my family resented, like, they just resented the power that Robin and I had. Even when I was like 10, you know, she was like in her 20s. Anyway, so 4th of July is always bittersweet. It's bittersweet for me now that she's gone. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to go to the beach tomorrow if the weather holds out. Megan's planning a little gathering on the beach because she just returned from Denver.
Yes.
It should be super fun. So happy 4th.
Happy 4th. I love that you just said, like, you know, tied in the May 4th with that being like the beginning, this act of revolution, and or was it a terrorist act? And you know, that it's just really amazing to see that truly that kind of galvanization of the people is what our country is founded on. And
nice, by the way, I saw you struggle to find the word just now, and I thought, oh, well, there's going to be an uncomfortable silence. And then you pulled it out with just the right...
I was doing it with my hand. If people were watching me, I sat in silence. Sometimes you have the gesture, and you
literally
don't have...
dug it out of the air.
I dug it out of the air. But like, but I think it's really amazing that that's what this country is founded on. We just celebrated Gay Pride.
We did.
The Stonewall Riots, you know, June...
You
know, that is a galvanizing moment, could be seen as an act of revolution.
Right.
You know,
depending on which side you're on.
This is right.
Depending on which side of history you're on.
This is right. And
I mean, there isn't history. What do they say? History is, was it Winston Churchill? Maybe I'm misquoting, but history is written by the winners.
Yes. Or whoever tells it. Honestly, too. But, you know, it is this moment where the people, like-minded people, you know, who say we've had enough or whatever, come together. And, you know, we just celebrated Gay Pride here in Chicago, and I was not here, so I want to hear a little bit about how your time was here, because I know you went to the parade, but just this interesting...
I was in the parade.
Yes. Just this little interesting, like, pattern of us as people, whether it be Americans or homosexuals or whatever, you know, coming together in an act that kind of marks something that changes, you know, everything. And to me, I always hope that we remember that that's what Gay Pride is about, you know, that it was this spark that now has become a million people strong. But I was having dinner with some folks last night, and, you know, based on the work that I do with Windy City Times and helping companies access the gay and lesbian, bisexual and transgender community and corporations and companies and businesses and all of that, you know, they were like, so, you know, what was this year like for you with gay marriage in Illinois and all of that? And I said, you know, it is interesting that now new people want access to our community based on marriage, which we knew would happen, and how interesting it is that some other companies have become obsolete, and this new idea that and I'm just going to state the idea, the fact without judgment, but that gay bars are kind of becoming obsolete, because, and I think that business is down in gay bars because I think gay people are going to bars.
Right.
They're not going to gay bars.
Where everybody's hanging out.
This is right. And you know, we used to need our places.
Right, to be safe.
And so is the new idea inviting straight people into our fun little worlds. Like, you know, really, are gay bars and gay businesses going to have to find a way to be... lifestyle or cultural or niche, or we do what we do well and it's for everybody? Because the problem is that we are now feeling comfortable in all kinds of arenas.
Yes and no.
And it's interesting, right? Because we can even look at our parade, a million people. Those are not a million homosexual people.
Right.
great if it was, but it's not. I'd be really curious to see if 20% of those people or 30% of those people are actually LGBT.
I think it's more than that.
But I'm sure it is,
because
too,
it's the gay parade.
I guarantee you it is too, but I don't think it's 500,000 homosexuals out there. I don't think even 50% of it is homosexual anymore, which is great. But I'm just saying, are the numbers aren't increasing at the Pride Parade because there are more homosexuals,
right? I have a couple of things to say about that. I would say...
But it is happening.
It is happening.
So what are we going to do?
Yes. Like, I say yes and yes. I said I think that there is a total increase in straight people coming, and not just to gawk and stare.
No.
I want to talk about that in a second, too, because I was in the parade. So one of the joys about being in the parade is you sit on a
great float perspective.
And you watch humanity.
It's the best way to do the parade.
It's extraordinary. So... But also, more people are coming out. So there are more gay people at the parade, mm-hmm. because there's a whole generation that's come out. Whether they came out at 50 or they're coming out at 15.
That's right.
And they've come out to their families,
that's
too.
That's right.
So,
and their families are there in solidarity. Right. So now, one recently, makes four really quickly, right?
So two things have happened. Two things happened to me in the past couple of weeks that make me say yes to what you're saying, absolutely. And it is a question. And how do we change? I've said this for years as gay culture... mainstreams what happens to gay culture, you know, that the idea that people aren't innately florists and designers. It's not like we were born with some sort of like design gene. The reason why is because we're forced out of the edges of participation. Yeah. And when you're forced out of the edges of participation, you get to see the whole forest.
Right.
And if you're in the forest, you know, that expression, you can't see the forest for the trees.
Yeah.
Well, we've always been able to see the forest. Therefore, we've become the people who make decisions about how to dress the forest.
Yeah.
It's not some innate... I don't think it's some innate gene that makes gay people creative. I think it's when you're pushed to the fringe, you look at society as a whole.
That's
And then you get a perspective on it. So that's my
thought. I generally think it's because we can often be more in tune and expressive with our feelings because we've been in our sense of expression because we've had to be.
Right, but that's my point, because we've been pushed outside.
Yes.
We're constantly looking at how we're going to fit in without being hurt, without being exposed, or without being...
Or how we make a situation better or prettier,
right,
or
for ourselves, so that
we're more
for safety. So two things happened. I recently had a very brief but really delicious affair with this guy from Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
So to look at the advances in gay rights here in America compared to what he's going back to, he left on Monday, is thought-provoking. I mean, I guess I'll just leave it at
that. Shocking.
It's shocking.
I mean, it's like 2014 anywhere on this planet. It's shocking. We listen to our news every week that, you know, Kirk and I record. It's like, it's shocking what's happening in countries.
And so even, for me, what was shocking was, like, you know, politics being personal, was that what's going on in his head. Like, some of the things that he would say to me, even about how he feels about himself or his queerness, was like...
But he has how many ever years of that being the imprint,
exactly.
The imprint, and you know, it's very porous, it's very insidious, it's an imprint. I mean, that's the best thing I can say about the things when we have an awareness, when we have an awakening, when we have our glimpse of our authentic self, even if we then cover it all back up.
Yep.
What we are left with is that imprint, that fingerprint of everything before that moment.
Yep.
And in a culture like that, the imprint, the embossment, you know, if you think of like paper when they emboss it, is so deep, you know, and it's like, how can you remove that? You know, it's like, it doesn't just erase away. It doesn't just pop back into place. It's like deep, you know,
so
it's
then
cellular almost.
So then I was chatting with someone else. We were socializing. We chatted with someone else, somebody that he knew, an American, an Arab, but an American Arab.
Gay or straight?
Gay.
Uh-huh.
And a citizen of America, but an Arab as well. And he said, I did not particularly care for this man. And he was going on about how he wants to find a dude. He was being all bro and dude and that sort of like faux.
Which you hate.
Well, I love it when it's sincere.
No, I know. But
I hate it when it's like
an artifice.
A pose of something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That somehow you think that's better.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
So the point is, I'm paraphrasing, but his monologue was like, dude, I want to be able to hang with a bro who I can go to like a straight sports bar with, and nobody doesn't make people stare and move a couple of stools over. So I'm like, okay, so you still live in a world in which, so it's the opposite of what you're talking about. So there are people who still think we live in a world and it's true for him, that if an obviously gay person goes into a straight bar and sits down at the bar to have a beer, that there's going to be, still in 2014 in Chicago, there's going to be some sort of adverse reaction. There's going to be some eyebrows raised. There's going to be some knowing nods of, oh, look, the fags are here. So I say, yes, it's totally happening. And what do we do about it? The other side of it is there's an entire part of our culture that is not experiencing that and is resistant to it, because what this guy's internalized homophobia about this is real, but is also reacting to the fact that that still happens.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say.
So you we still need our gay bars.
We totally need our gay bars. You know, my point was actually not that we need our gay bars. It's more like, how do we make them survive? Because at various places in one's life, in one's coming out process, in one...
I say we invite people. That's how we make them survive.
I mean, that's it, right? We have to, like, start finding ways to, like, have, you know, comedy nights or show tune nights or some, you know, even if we're going to have stripper night or you know, whatever is our fetish night, you know, how are we also going to have nights where, because, you know, we lost Spin.
Right.
And Spin was kind of a one of those bars where, you know, 10 years ago when they kind of came, I don't know when they came on the scene, but it feels to me like 10 or more years ago. They're not 15. As old as some bars, because I remember the advent of Spin. But, you know, it was kind of a bar where I knew, like, a lot of people were like, oh, lots of straight people go there. You know, it was like lots of Lakeview young 20-somethings.
Right, they
want to
go see drag shows.
30-somethings, they would go, or just, it was kind of like an all-persons bar.
Yeah.
And,
More so than, like, Hydrate.
More so than, like, Hydrate. More so than a lot of places, honestly. And, you know, and, like, how do... You know, like, I think Cruz kind of could be that kind of bar, you know, with the sports angle.
I wonder if we lost Spin. I mean, nobody really knows the story.
I don't know the story. I haven't investigated the story. I'm sure I could find out a little bit.
But. I sort of wonder if we lost Spin, not from numbers, but from business.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I don't even know. I think it was honestly... And don't quote me on this, but my impression... having done no research on it, was just that it was like a real estate thing. Like they won the building for something else. I'm not talking about the death of Spin as, I'm just talking about now that it's gone for whatever reason, the void of that type of space, you know? And so it's just an interesting, you know, it's just an interesting idea of like, you know, we had our Windy City Gay Idol, which we haven't been able to talk about, at Main Stage, which is a you know a lot of world music, comedy, everything. I mean, they have every kind of performance there, you know. But we've had Gay Idol there finals the past 2 years, fantastic night. And I had clients in from Curacao who were giving our prizes to our winner and an audience winner for a trip to Curacao with American Airlines, and I had people there from many of Chicago. And these were straight people, you know. I don't know if they're all straight, but there were straight people, and then Karen Mason, the Broadway actress and musical theater actress, was there performing as a guest performer, and we were sitting at a banquette at one point before she sang, and she said, "I love this." You know, I mean, that's a woman who is been around the gay culture. Her first Brian Lasser, her first
she's
writing
in Mamma
partner,
Mia.
She started Mamma Mia, but I'm just saying, like. She's not a gay person, but she should be coming to our joints. Do you know what I mean? And probably would or has. But I'm just saying, if she wasn't an entertainer, if Karen Mason was, you know, not in the arts.
Just a lady.
She should come there with another lady or come there with a guy, you know, her husband or whatever. And she just looked at me at one point and she goes, "I love this." She goes, "I just love the different ages of people and the different... diversity of people in this room." And it was true. Like,
absolutely,
you know,
true.
It's like you can see people who just feel very much like, I don't know, mainstream. And then you have like 8 foot tall drag queens.
Right.
And you have, you know, 20 somethings. And we had 60 somethings.
I was not in drag. I just put on an eyebrow.
You did put it. It was a very, very long eyebrow.
It was a very,
very
long,
tall,
very tall,
very
eyebrow.
Very antenna like eyebrow.
I mean, here's the deal. I agree with you. And I think that's been happening for a long time. And it was interesting at the parade, being in the parade with, I was with WCPT, with Scott Duff and that crowd. And that was really fun. And it was interesting that it's always, I haven't been in the parade in many, actually I haven't been to, the, I have to admit, I haven't been to the parade in many, many years. Like a lot of people my age, at a certain point, it's just like, I just can't stand in a crowd in the heat and scream for 3 hours. To be on the float was great.
Yeah.
And I hadn't done that in a while too. And so even back in the day, back in the early 90s, when I first got to Chicago and first was on a float and met Alex Billings and spent 3 hours doing Katharine Hepburn imitations. The difference was wild. Like you turn onto Broadway. When you get to Broadway and Diversity Area, right? So you're more into the Lincoln Park, less Lakeview. And it's always been much straighter. You can almost feel it, you know? It's like when you're on a road that goes from residential
like near
to
the
urban.
Bagel, like down, even when you start heading down near the Bagel, south of Belmont. Once you get south of Belmont.
South of Belmont. And so it used to feel very supportive, right? But deliberately so, like, hey, look at me. Look at me supporting you guys and day drinking, you know? Now it felt more like, and this is sort of beautiful, it sort of felt like, yes, yes, I love you guys. Yeah. Thanks for the reason to day drink.
Yeah.
You know, like, one more reason why I love the fags.
Yeah,
you know
what I mean? Yeah.
And not that anybody said that, but, you know, there's a spirit change.
Yeah.
And this was really interesting. I thought this was really interesting. This is sort of off the topic, but I hadn't seen this before. Many points along the route, I saw groups of people, sometimes 10, sometimes 15, sometimes 30, of people wearing t-shirts, white t-shirts with black lettering that just said, I'm sorry.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't get it. Huh. I didn't get it. So, and I even screamed at one point. I was throwing little rainbow wristbands and smiling and dancing and having a blast and taking all the love that is that parade, which was really, really more than anything. It's really just people just throwing love at you. They don't even know you.
Yeah.
You know, you're on a float, so they think you're a celebrity, and so you dance a little bit and they love you. Anyway, so I'm taking in all this love and having a blast and being with Scott and Jerry and on a gorgeous day. And there was these t-shirts that said, I'm sorry. And I didn't know what it meant. So at one point I was like, what are you sorry about? And they sort of didn't get that I didn't get it, so they just kept blowing kisses at me. And I was like, well, that's cool. I don't know what this is. We go down Diversity. You know, we get to Belmont, Broadway and Diversity, where it turns to go into Lincoln Park. And it's always been where, well, not always, dissenters, the religious right, the, you know,
homosexual. They used to be where it V'd. They used to be up there near the IHOP.
Right.
Right where you had that slow damn turn, the kickback.
Right.
And it was like, oh, you had to stand there and be, you know, that's where all the Phelps folks would used to
so
be.
It's a straight line.
Now that it's ironic that now the gay pride parade has become a straight line.
Right, exactly. Exactly, a straight line. So,
it used to be bent, and now we're straight.
Well, that's exactly, it's funny because it's exactly where it bends, right? It's at that turn there. So, at Diversity. So, in the past, there were dissenters all along the route. As time went on, between the 90s when I first got to Chicago and now 92 when I first got here, they have sort of kept a section.
For these people. That's where they tell them to go.
The homosex is a sin signs. And, and it used to be, last time I was in a parade, it was a small group of people with bullhorns and these signs and Bible quotes and stuff like that. And it was generally a small group.
Like 12 or 14.
And they were isolated.
Yeah, there's cops usually around
them. There's cops. But also nobody was around them. Nobody wanted to be around them. This year, we round the corner, and we see the signs, and we sort of brace ourselves a little bit. Just, you know, because you...
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how old you are, how liberated you are, how evolved you are. It's still when you see somebody
so
using... this will be controversial and whatever. To use their myths and their fairy tales called the Bible to tell me I'm a bad person. It's still shocking, and it hurts your feelings. Even though I don't believe in any of that crap. So, anyway... What was interesting this year was that they weren't isolated. They were surrounded by people dressed and carrying countersigns and basically calmly, peaceably drowning them out. There was this one guy, clearly a straight guy, dressed as Jesus.
We have a
big picture. He says, I'm not with them.
Yeah.
Or I'm not with him. Some guy had a sign, a pointing finger. But it like rainbow bedangled, bedazzled. And it's just a secret gay. And they kept using it to point at the guy on the bullhorn. Right? And then there must have been 40 people right in the front with the I'm sorry t-shirts. And I got it. They were people who used to do that.
Yeah.
People who used to believe that.
Yeah.
People who used to cause pain to our community.
Yeah.
Who have had an epiphany.
Yeah.
Who have had an awareness because of all this stuff that we're talking about.
Yeah.
And they're saying, I'm sorry. Yeah. And in the past, they would have stayed away from those people. This year, all those t-shirts all along the path and then surrounding them, just standing in the front, just looking at us while this guy's yelling things. We couldn't even hear him. That's how much they were drowned out by songs and house music and Rainbow Delight.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, that's a difference.
It is a difference. And, you know, we're going to hear it today in our news, you know, difference around the world, world leaders who are starting to say, you know, we're going to address the issue, who have been, you know, vocal about being anti-gay, now changing their stance. We're seeing it with Republican members in this country with a new name that we'll hear at the top of our news. And, you know, it is changing. It is changing. And the active revolution is happening, and it's an inside job, and I think it's starting to happen to some of these people. We're going to talk about how it hasn't happened as well, but I'm going to take you to the news right now, Kirk, and I've got a lot. Seems like a lot always comes at the end of Pride Month, and we're going to tell you also what's going on in the theater world, some great new shows going on that you can get tickets for and go out to see. So we'll be back, Mitchell Fain on the couch during the show.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Weekend News. Saying it is not providing a shield for employers who might cloak illegal discrimination as a religious practice, a 5-4 majority of the U.S. Supreme Court ruled June 30th that a federal law may not require a closely held commercial employer to provide health insurance coverage for contraception if that employer claims that to do so violates his or her personal religious beliefs. The opinion in the Hobby Lobby cases, written by Justice Sam Alito, also states that the decision applies only to a federal mandate that employers provide coverage for contraception and does not necessarily apply to coverage for other medical services to which some employers might raise religious objections. Leading the dissent, Judge Ruth Bader Ginsburg called Alito's opinion startling.
On the heels of receiving HRC's endorsement in her reelection race, Susan Collins of Maine has become the fourth Republican U.S. senator to publicly endorse marriage equality. She joins Rob Portman of Ohio, Mark Kirk of Illinois, and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska as Republican senators on the side of marriage equality.
In a significant first, a U.S. appeals court has struck down a state ban on same-sex marriages. It happened June 25th in Utah, where a panel ruled 2-1 against the prohibition, saying that any couple, regardless of sexual orientation, has the right to marry. Enforcement of the decision was stayed temporarily. Utah Attorney General Sean Reyes said his office would appeal to the Supreme Court. The justices then would decide whether to hear the case.
The U.S. Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals has ordered the state to recognize the same-sex marriage of one Indiana couple. The decision marks the latest development in a week of court rulings that legalized same-sex marriage in Indiana before banning it again 3 days later. The latest ruling came at the request of Amy Sandler and Nick Quasney, who is terminally ill. A 3-judge panel from the Federal Appeals Court in Chicago ordered the unique recognition for the Munster couple a day after it announced plans to expedite the appeal of the U.S. District Judge Richard Young's ruling last week that found Indiana's ban unconstitutional.
California's ban on gay conversion therapy is set to take effect after the Supreme Court declined to hear 2 cases challenging its legality. The measure prohibits mental health providers from engaging in sexual orientation change efforts with minors, meaning that therapists and other licensed counselors are not allowed to engage in the controversial practice of attempting to rid someone under 18 of same-sex feelings. Governor Jerry Brown signed the ban into law in 2012, but it has been delayed by a series of legal challenges.
Also in California, a new streamlined process for transgender people who wish to change their gender or name on their birth certificates began July 1st. The first part of Assembly Bill 1121, which required the court to grant a name change petition without hearing if there are no objections, was signed by Governor Jerry Brown last October. Another bill by Speaker Atkins, AB 1577, the Respect After Death Act, would require death certificates to reflect the descendant's gender identity. This measure passed out of the Assembly with bipartisan support and waits consideration in the Senate.
Voters in Latta, South Carolina, opted by a more than 2-1 margin to scrap their strong mayor government in favor of a more powerful city council. The referendum came after widespread revulsion over Mayor Earl Bullard's unilateral decision in April to fire the town's first ever female police chief, Crystal Moore, who happens to be lesbian. Councilwoman Lutherine Williams said that the council's first order of business is to rehire more.
A federal judge in Kentucky struck down the state's ban on marriage equality, although the ruling was temporarily put on hold and it was not immediately clear when same-sex couples could be issued marriage licenses. U.S. District Judge John G. Habern in Louisville concluded that the state's prohibition on same-sex couples being wed violates the Equal Protection Clause of the U.S. Constitution by treating gay couples differently than straight couples. Kentucky Governor Steve Beshear said the state will appeal the decision.
Governor Pat Quinn signed legislation June 26 that installs protections and procedures to help students bullied in Illinois schools. The bill, HB 5707, puts into place uniform policies for school administrators once students report being bullied and calls for schools to report information on bullying incidents back to the state. The bill's chief sponsor was State Rep. Kelly Cassidy.
In Colorado, a federal appeals court ruled for the first time that gay couples have a constitutional right to marry, extending the movement's legal winning streak and bringing the issue a big step closer to the U.S. Supreme Court. The three-judge panel in Denver ruled 2-1 that states cannot deprive people of the fundamental right to marry simply because they choose a partner of the same sex. The court dismissed as wholly illogical the notion that allowing gays to wed could somehow undermine traditional marriage.
Arizona Governor Jan Brewer has said it may be time to consider extending these state civil rights laws to gay people. The governor conceded that, while existing state laws bar discrimination based on race, religion, or gender, those do not extend to sexual orientation, and that it may be time to change that. Her comments come several months after she made national headlines by vetoing legislation that would have expanded the rights of any business to turn away customers based on the claim that serving that person would interfere with a sincerely held religious belief.
In Maryland, a historic primary race took place in Montgomery County when a transgender woman and a gay man competed for the same seat in the state Senate. Openly gay Senator Richard Madaleno successfully defeated trans candidate Dana Beyer. Madaleno was the first gay elected official to serve in the state Senate, and Beyer would have been the first transgender state senator if had won.
In world news, in a historic announcement, U.S. National Security Advisor Susan Rice announced a $2.7 million partnership between the U.S. Agency for International Development and the National Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce to encourage and support LGBT business owners and entrepreneurs in developing countries. The initiative creates an avenue for U.S. businesses to become trading and strategic partners with LGBT owners in program countries in Mexico, Colombia, and Peru. It also will encourage program country businesses to serve as suppliers to multinational corporations, in-country companies, and government agencies.
Former Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi has announced his support for the gay rights movement, reversing his previous stance. The move comes after the politician's current girlfriend joined the gay rights group, Archigay.
Same-sex couples will still be able to enter into civil partnerships in the United Kingdom, but straight couples are still banned from the legal union. And following a consultation, the UK government has announced the date couples in civil partnerships are able to convert their unions into marriage, December 10th. More than 120,000 people have entered into a civil partnership since it was made law in 2004.
Thousands gathered in Kingston, Jamaica to show support for the country's strict sodomy law, which prohibits same-sex intercourse. The protest was organized by a local church group called Jamaica Churches Action Uniting Society, which gathered about 25,000 people to take a stand against the so-called homosexual agenda. The rally comes at a time where violence against LGBT people in Jamaica is on the rise, and mobs have even gathered to attack LGBT individuals.
The African country of Gambia has revealed a new bill to ban all LGBT individuals and charities. A bill has been submitted to Parliament. If the bill passes in Parliament, it is likely the Gambian president will support it.
Legislation that would recognize gay and lesbian couples with civil unions was introduced in the Italian Senate. The bill would also create a cohabitation contract with limited benefits available to same-sex and opposite-sex couples.
In entertainment news, Rufus Wainwright assembled an eclectic dream team of male vocalists for the If I Loved You, Gentlemen Prefer Broadway show at the Toronto Illuminato Festival. The lineup included Josh Groban, Boy George, Talking Heads frontman David Byrne, Vampire Weekend frontman Ezra Koenig,
Bare Naked Ladies frontman Stephen Page, and more.
Out British soul singer-songwriter Sam Smith has made U.S. pop history with his debut album, In the Lonely Hour. He sold more copies in its first week of release, 166,000, than any other debut album by a U.K. male artist in the 23-year history of SoundScan. The Capitol Records album entered the Billboard Top 200 charts at number 2, propelled by the artist's top 10 single, Stay With Me, which has just surpassed sales of 1 million copies.
Female rapper Angel Hayes has confirmed a romance with Ireland Baldwin, the model daughter of Kim Basinger and Alec Baldwin. Hayes and Baldwin, who met at New York Fashion Week through Baldwin's cousin, were initially friends before they started dating.
Actress Kathy Bates has said she would love to play a lesbian role opposite Uma Thurman. The Oscar winner, who plays a gay woman in Melissa McCarthy's film Tammy, said she thought Thurman was pretty cool. And in Tammy, Bates plays Lenore, a lesbian in a relationship with Susan, played by Sandra Oh.
Meshach Taylor, an actor who was beloved for his role on TV's Designing Women as Anthony Bouvier, passed away after losing his battle with cancer. He was 67. Among his other film and TV projects were Mannequin, The Drew Carey Show, and Criminal Minds.
And Lindsay Lohan is heading for the London stage in a play about the hysteria of Hollywood. Lohan will make her professional stage debut in September in David Mamet's satirical drama Speed the Plow. In the original 1988 New York production, the role was played by Madonna.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
This is Daphne Rubin Vega, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
Culture Club, Culture Club, Culture Club. Theater,
music,
dance,
art,
performance,
provocative,
hilarious,
exciting,
Kaweer!
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of July 7th, 2014, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Main stage in Rogers Park presents America's favorite drag a cappella group, the Kinsey Six, performing new show, America's Next Top Bachelor Housewives Celebrity Hoarder Makeover Star, Gone Wild. Two shows only on August 1st. Tickets at MAYNESTAGE.com. Don't miss the Kinsey Six.
Make it a summer to remember at River Edge Park in Aurora. Coming up, country superstars Lady Antebellum on August 7th. Classic rock band Boston on August 10th. Jennifer Nettles and the Indigo Girls on August 29th. Don't miss this concert series. Tickets at RiverEdgeAurora.com. That's RiverEdgeAurora.com.
Juno is a treasure. Discover it, says Chicago Sun-Times. About Timeline Theater's Chicago premiere of the musical based on the celebrated Irish play, Juno and the Paycock. It's hugely entertaining, declares the Daily Herald. And the Wall Street Journal says, seize this opportunity while you can. There are just 3 weeks left. Juno must close July 27th. Save $5 with code WINDYCITY5. Visit timelinetheater.com.
Steppenwolf Theater presents The Qualms, a new comedy that explores the eternal struggle for power, status, and getting laid. Tickets start at $20. Get your seats at steppenwolf.org. Don't miss The Qualms, playing now at Steppenwolf.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hello, Deb Pierce here, letting you know that we'd love to hear back from you, so go ahead. You know you want to. Post a comment.
Pieces falling through the sky. I'm wanting to feel you beneath me, but not like this, believe me. No, I can't wake up. No, I can't crash down to half that's lost and half that's found. I can't believe that you would leave me this way. I am broken now to a thousand pieces. You have stolen one. It's a piece I needed. I can't open up. You can't close me shut. I am
so, Mitchell, I just kind of tagging on the end of our conversation about pride, one of my favorite things that I saw in our breaking news this week was about this campaign that Burger King did of the the Proud Whopper. And, you know, obviously corporations want our business, and they use tactics and they use whatever, or they want to have the biggest, flashiest pride float parade in whatever city they're in or whatever, in all cities. And then they kind of go away or whatever. And I feel really unchanged by that. I mean, I feel like if a company doesn't show up kind of 12 months out of the year, and I can't really see how they show up, and they just, you know, show up in the Pride Parade, I really think it's like a big firework, and it's like it's an instant moment, and right. then it goes away. Right. But I have to say that Burger King, and if you haven't seen this, hopefully we can link some of this in our show notes, but I believe it was done out of San Francisco this past week for the Pride Parade there in San Francisco, and Burger King launched the Proud Whopper, which they had people come in, and the Whopper wrapped in the paper had rainbow colors on it. It said the Proud Whopper. People would go up and try to order it. They'd be like, would you like to have the Proud Whopper today? A lot of these people you could tell were coming from the parade, various ages. You know, it's interesting, many people of different ethnicities, and people just popping in to have a burger after right. a day at the parade. So there's a lot of young people, and they're interviewing people about, would you try the Proud Whopper, and different people's response. My right. favorite is, do gay people eat fast food? Which right. is really funny from this very, like, kind of seeming conservative white right. dude. But what was the revelation of the whole thing is that people are asking, well, how's it different? You know, what's on it? Like, you know, right, the lettuce, inside. Tomato,
but
sauce,
wasn't that the
or whatever.
Tagline? It's all, we're all the
well,
same
that's
inside.
It. They ate it. Once they got it, some people ordered it for $4.20 or whatever it was, because I think some of the money went to charity. But and they were talking about it, and they're trying to figure out, like, they show clips of people, like, going, oh, I think it's maybe the meat, or it's the same sauce, right? It's the same? I can't tell a difference. Or people saying things. And then when you open up the whole hamburger, and if you pick the hamburger up, you know, out of the thing, the inside is a rainbow flag that says we're all the same inside.
Yeah.
And it was like this young black girl who was, like, 20, you know, something. She, like, burst into tears. And it's kind of like, okay. That's a smart marketing campaign yeah. because that is not just a firework or a big explosive thing that goes off. It's so quiet.
Yeah.
It's so intimate.
Yeah. Here's my deal,
too. And I was like, way to go, Burger King. Whoever the hell is your marketing executive, right. that is pure genius.
It is. And this is what I think about the crass commercialism of the Pride Parade.
Yeah.
How many politicians march in it and blah, blah, blah.
I don't want him the politicians. It's like the big corporations who just do that and that's it.
Well, it's always been
like
this
they
thing.
They earmark money to be in the Pride Parade right, and that's it. And I'm like, that's not you making a change.
Well, see, this is my thing with it.
That's you coming to the party, and anybody can come to the
party.
To
the party, right. This is my thing. It's like, we live in a capitalistic society. Money mm-hmm. rules. That's it. That's truly our God here in America. Let's be honest.
That's exactly right. And when we talk about this other Hobby Lobby stuff, that's right. what I will just remind everybody. That is our God, and that's why that ruling happened. It actually has nothing to do with religion. I truly believe all shit has to do with money.
It also with money. So it also works on our side, too, because now, right. and this we were talking about before, too, early in our last conversation, is that... That now that businesses realize
yep.
that we are the market, a market to tap,
yep.
what will be their response? Will it be something as sort of subtle and sort of like clever as Burger King, or is it something like you said, where it's just showing up at the party? My thing is this:
Chevrolet running ads during the Super Bowl.
Right.
I mean, you know, going for it.
My point is, I kind of don't care as long as they get on board. It's like that's how it works. If you can if your corporation can make a little money and you can do a little good, you should be able to do
both.
That's
correct.
Because I mean, it's like the Oprah thing about charity, right?
Right.
It's like yes, you should give and do charitable acts because the world needs it. But also, it feels really good.
Yes, right.
Like, her sort of saying that part of it is that it just feels really good for yourself in a
That's
way
right.
it's selfish.
That's
do something
right.
really good because it's selfish.
Yeah.
And I love that combo.
Yeah.
Because I do think that's what's happening now, which brings me to something else that happened at the parade, which was a bit of a controversy.
Okay. I do want to say that I want a Whopper now.
I know. I
like
do too.
I like a craving
oh,
one.
Oh, no. I never eat
so
fast
it's good
food.
Marketing
yeah,
that
just
makes
do gay
me
people
go.
Eat fast food? No.
No, do but always... I want a Whopper right now.
I do too.
Anyhow, sorry, I had this thing that happened at the Pride Parade.
Scott and it's funny because it became a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Scott and I were, Jerry and I were walking to find the float.
Uh-huh. Which is always hard.
It was always hard because they're numbered, but there's not numbers on the floor.
Right.
They say, oh, it's 114. You're like, that means nothing.
Nothing to me.
It's chaos. Anyway, we walk by this float, this very elaborate, beautifully done, lots of scantily clad boys,
yep.
you know,
yep.
fluffing their penises for the parade float.
Yep.
Also, there was a child on the float. When I say child, like a six-year-old.
Okay.
Adorable child.
Yep.
And it was for the Chicago liposuction.
Oh, I heard about this controversy.
Okay. So we walked. It's funny because before it was even controversial, it was just.
That too, yeah.
I know it was just Jerry and I walking by, and we both were stopped, like slack jawed. In our, just we were like quickly. We had gotten our iced coffee. We were like running. We didn't want to be late. As it turns out, the thing started like an hour and a half later.
Yeah, because we're gay.
Exactly.
Because we're on drag queen time.
Listen, every minority group. Every minority group claims lateness. Let's just say everybody just show up on fucking time, please.
Yeah.
Makes me crazy. No more. I'm this minority group, so I get to claim time.
Yeah,
no, you don't.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, that's my take on that. Because you know me, I'm always on time.
Yes, you are.
So, we were slack-jawed, like, what?
Yeah.
And then we had to move on. And we referenced it a couple of times during the day, just like, we couldn't figure out what was the most inappropriate part of it, that there was such a thing as a Chicago liposuction society or organization. Or that they had a float in the gay pride parade.
And their big sign said, you know, you don't need to have man boobs or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like referenced get man
we,
boobs.
Right, like, so, like, body shaming.
Well,
in the gay pride parade.
Perfect place to do it.
Well,
but perfect
but,
place to do
I know,
it because it is gross. But the gross thing about the male community, the gay male community,
yes,
is that it is. You know, unfortunately, that's the bed you've made because that is the bed that the gay men
don't
live
yell
in.
At me.
I am yelling
I
at you. I'm pointing at you. No, you're not liposuctioning, but I know people who. I mean,
I get it, but that's my counterpoint is that it's this capitalism run amok, right? So clearly,
it
like
is.
They're supported enough and feel like
but
they're part
your
of the
market. That market there. That I mean, I understand.
My
it horrifies
also,
me because unfortunately, what I think it is a mirror. And I mean, you know,
the most offensive part was that there was a child. Not
well,
that the child.
Yes,
it wasn't. It was less offensive that the child was seeing like scantily clad men dancing because that was. Perfectly darling.
Yeah, yeah.
It was because you'd see that at the beach, but like, it was more scary to me that this child was already being taught about liposuction.
Yeah, but I just mean, you know, teenage girls and gay men for their entire lives are the body issue.
Body issue.
People. And, you know, and it doesn't matter. You don't have to look like the Adonis to have that Adonis complex. It is a sickness in the head of most gay men I know. And
I
guarantee you there will be gay men who will look at me and go, oh my God, that was so horrible on the parade. And I'll be like, yeah, and you preen a little too much. You worry about your appearance a little too much.
Also because we still let men make all the decisions.
You judge other men way too much. You need to be the best looking way too much in a crowd of gay men. It's like, it's a problem. And until gay men really start addressing that, the self-loathing that is at the core of that and the low self-esteem that's at the core of that, and I understand why it is, but
right,
that's why those people show up.
To counter that, let me ask you
that's
a very serious question to counter
up.
That. Let me ask you, do I look skinny?
You're so adorable. Oh my God.
Skinny!
You are so skinny. We don't even have time to talk about Hobby Lobby.
Fuck Hobby Lobby.
Fuck Hobby Lobby.
I'm serious. Fuck Hobby Lobby. Fuck Hobby Lobby. I never want to even hear the words again.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever the fallout of this is going to be is a larger discussion to happen, and I think we should. I'm curious to see as we sit in it for a couple of weeks and see what happens. It's already starting to trickle into LGBT issues. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, let's talk about it in like 2 weeks.
Yes, that's my point.
Let's talk about it in 2 weeks because honestly, I will still say, and I always say this, and it's probably because you and I have differing spiritual beliefs, but I am already seeing a lot of religious or Christian or spiritual people say, you know, this has nothing to do, this kind of decision making, this kind of request that would even be, you know, something that the Supreme Court is even voting on does not derive from anything that most people I know who have spiritual, religious, or even Christian beliefs believe in and, you know, would never believe in discriminating. And so I think that religious, spiritual, or Christian people of any of those categories are equally outraged that you don't have to be an atheist or be agnostic to feel also like you want to distance yourself from that group and don't want to be any part of
I think it has to do with
would,
misogyny more than anything. It's these five
it's
men.
Money
it's money
and
misogyny.
It's fear. and ignorance. And I really think it's about money. And, you know, privately held companies are very different than publicly held companies. And in our country now, we have a time where we can look at the HRC Equality Index and see that literally like 99.5% of all Fortune 500, even Fortune 100 companies, 100 and 500 companies have protections for LGBT people. They score very high today in 2014. So publicly held companies where the public buys stock and supports things, and the company needs the public to be shareholders and needs the company to have mega corporations, those all protect us as LGBT people and protect, you know, women. And definitely not perfectly, but the laws are in place now, whether they're upheld or whatever, those provisions are there. You know, we are talking about, you know, publicly held corporations, which is the last frontier, which are these small, either family owned companies, and based on wherever that imprint that we talked about earlier, uh-huh, of family is. We've dealt with it with Chick-fil-A, we're dealing with Hobby Lobby, it's still around with Domino's, it's still around, you know, this was the thing that plagued Coors Company, right, for forever. I mean, this is an right old story,
yeah,
that the Supreme Court, as you said, has now mandated and made the law of the land and is now going to be problematic, and we're going to see,
yes, how is problematic it gonna, right, because, it's going to because be. Because this is ultimately, I agree that it's ultimately about money, but I really ultimately believe, even more than like the eventual homophobia that's going to come from this, it's about misogyny.
Yeah.
It's about still men and with the men talking about women's sexuality and women's sexual organs.
Well, there's a million reasons women need birth control, and it's not all to not have a baby. Menstrual cycles, like you know, women who have endometriosis, women need these pills, right, for things other than to stop Catholic procreation.
So how do we get into a country? How do we get to a point in our progressive, yay America, red, white, and blue 4th of July country, yep, in which five men sat on a panel? And because
we keep electing the wrong people. I mean, you know, I mean, we keep electing these people we elect.
Here's my prediction.
We have an apathy about certain things that are actually super important. And luckily, you know,
right,
if Obama goes down as being not a great president, he's at least seated.
That fucking poll that just came out.
Well, whatever.
They polled 1,500 people.
No, totally. I'm not saying that. I mean, I'm not even referencing a poll. I just mean, and as gay people, his record is right, the best we've
he's
ever
gonna
had.
He's going to go down as amazing president.
But I think that, you know,
speaking of presidents, you know what this is going
to
do?
Clinton is going to be important for us to elect, yeah, her, because she's going to put women.
I'll tell you what.
We have Sotomayor. We have people now who, we still have lovely Ruth, you know, Bader, who is like writing beautiful 10-page rebuttals.
It's making
to this.
Her a legend.
She is
this
a legend.
Is what I think. This is what's going to happen. This has cemented Hillary being president.
Well, I sure should hope so.
I do. I think this
I think we should go on the road.
It.
Should we just do 52 podcasts during Hillary's right election year?
Yes.
One a week.
In different cities,
and we just go around and we do Hillary queer podcasts. That's our lifestyle podcast. That's how we invite the mainstream in.
Let's do it. I you mark my words. This has this
the Windy City Queercast and others.
Et al. This has literally spirited.
I hope so.
To the White House.
It's time for her to like announce. It's she's not.
Also,
going
I want to know what
yet.
Hat Bill's going to wear to the inauguration.
Right. Adorable.
I hope he wears a big
but
Aretha
you know
Franklin
what?
Hat.
Here's what I love about Bill Clinton. Good Lord, he is the trajectory of the white male. Is he not? And I think it will be lovely for him to be first lady.
He does
and
even the does the white male overbite when he dances.
He does, but I just mean the humility of like, you know, we can almost see the journey of him through teenager, like blowing saxophone on the Arsenio Hall. And, you know, it's almost like parachute pants and breakdancing in junior high or high school. You know, it's like the kind of teenager... Then the sexual messiness of the 20s, which is the right whole Monica Lewinsky. I just feel like he's matured into quite a lovely human being we've watched. You know, he went through the presidency.
And even he stopped going to Burger King. Right, even he stopped eating fast food.
I don't know.
Right.
He's probably going to go get a Proud Whopper.
I hope
he gets Can we go get a Proud Whopper right now?
Want to?
All right. And Hillary Clinton, you must become president.
No, seriously, because I could use some fries.
All right, let's go. Okay. Have a good week, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
It's you I want.